Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, and welcome to another The New Abnormal member-exclusive episodes, and we thank you so much for being here. We have a very special guest with Madeline Corwin, who is someone I met a long time ago. She's a young girl. She's 24. She's a type 1 diabetic, and for the last couple of years, she has worked on trying to make sure that no one ever dies from not being able to afford their insulin. Tell me how you got started in this world.
So I've had type 1 diabetes for 9 years, almost 10. And I didn't have like a community of people. I didn't even know one existed really.
How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was 14.
Okay, so you're 24 now.
Yeah, I just turned 24 a few days ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't know there was a community at all until last year. The Instagram Explore page, for some reason, like, it was starting to give me people with diabetes, maybe because, like, my Google searches, and it was just, like, recommending me things. And I found a girl that was, like, really pretty, and she had an insulin pump, and I started, like, following her. And then eventually I ended up, like, making my own kind of diabetes Instagram account.
Right.
So I have, like, two separate accounts. And then, like, it was almost immediately that, like, I fell in with like the right people, I guess. So, like, I fell in with like people that were really focused on insulin legislation and like mutual aid and stuff like that, because it's like, it's such a loud issue here. You would think that like all diabetics would care about it, but
yeah,
that's not really the truth. It's a large community, but there are people who just like completely, I don't know if they ignore it or like they don't know or like they're not affected by it, but that was basically how I got into it.
So explain to me what you saw when you started doing this diabetes activism.
I started on Instagram, which is nice, but you don't get like as big of reach as Twitter for whatever reason when it comes to this type of stuff. And also there are less people in need on Instagram, because, you know, Twitter, you can just like post, but on Instagram, people aren't going to like post like, I need insulin, like that would be, it's just not the format of Instagram.
Right.
So I moved to Twitter last September, and that was kind of when I met even more like people that were way deeper into doing this kind of stuff, and befriended them and started getting in like direct message conversations with them. And then I got in with like the hashtag certain people were using, which I'm not sure if I should share, but like to get insulin or like to get help, or just to, like, I guess just like boosting people. And then that's kind of when I was seeing the really big need on Twitter, was when I was like opened up to that, because it's kind of, you kind of have to dig and you have to know where to look. Like, I don't think like people like you would like really see it at all if you didn't follow me, which is it is in a way a good thing, because it's like not completely legal to partake in this type of stuff.
Right.
But it is a bad thing, because like then people don't get boosted the amount that they need. So that's kind of what I was seeing.
So Madeline, can you explain what the legal part of it is?
There are two parts to mutual aid. So if we think about mutual aid in like when people do like food banks and stuff like that, or just like feeding people for like Thanksgiving, obviously that's legal because they're just distributing food or funds to like families.
Right.
But when it comes to like prescription drugs, that's obviously not legal. And in the US, insulin, the analogs are considered prescription drugs, but you can buy a much more dangerous formula over the counter at Walmart, so it doesn't make any sense.
But right, of course.
Yeah, in Canada and Mexico, they're not prescription drugs, Humalog, Lantus, Novolog. So that's when it becomes, I guess, it's technically illegal, but I've never seen anyone get in trouble for it, especially because no one's exchanging money.
Or have you heard about people dying from not being able to afford their insulin?
Yeah, a lot of people.
A lot of people?
Yeah, so they kind of come out of nowhere, I will just post about it, or like I'll just make a tweet just saying like I'm venting about it. I'm mad, so I just make a statement, and I'll have people message me on Twitter or Instagram and be like, and there are people that aren't even in the diabetes community, like they just somehow found my tweet, and they'll be like, thanks so much for posting about this. Like, this is how my dad died like 3 years ago, and like no one ever talks about it and stuff like that. So like, we don't even have the real numbers because people like literally don't know that that's what their like parent or brother died from. They kind of just think like, oh, like, you know, like Joe wasn't taking care of himself. But in reality, like Joe literally couldn't afford to take care of himself. And on top of that, we have people who are aware like what their children or their sister died of, and they've like joined the diabetes.
They're shamed, right?
Yeah. So they join the community and they help like a lot with like legislation and like giving testimonies and stuff like that.
Was there a sea change? Was there a moment when insulin got more expensive?
Yeah. So analog insulin, which is the, I guess, newer formula, it's really not that like fancy, but whatever. Like, everybody should have access to it. No questions asked. But anyway, it was released in 96, which is the year I was born. And then it slowly started increasing in price. I believe in 96, it was like around $20. And if we adjusted that for inflation in 2020, it would only be in like the mid $35, $36 range per vial. It just keeps going up. And like, I guess it wasn't too concerning to Americans like throughout the early 2000s. But once it started hitting like 2011, 2012, where it was like hitting those $200 a vial marks, people were like, okay, well, like something's going on. And it was every manufacturer doing it at the same time. And these like price changes are discussed months in advance. So it's like, I guess it is price fixing, but like everybody kind of turns a blind eye to it.
Right.
I would say since like 2012 or 2011 is when people like started feeling that they had to like be activists for their own disease.
Yeah. Jesus. That is so, it's so interesting to me. Have you seen organization towards like lobbying politicians to control the cost?
So there was one. There was T1 International, and they were doing stuff, but there are barriers because so many people like on both sides of the aisle are taking insulin money. Like, that's just the way that it is. But I guess they got C3 status. I don't know exactly how it works. I'm not like well versed in that field, but they got their C3 status and they sent out an email to like everyone on their list that like they can't lobby anymore. So I'm not quite sure what they're doing, because that was the whole basis of their organization, was like, if you donate to us, we will pay our constituents to like be volunteers in each state. And I used to lead one of the state chapters in Arizona. It was hard like to even contact anybody about like a basic $100 a month, which is still a lot, copay cap for like less than 30% of the state's insulin dependent population. Like, it would have barely helped anyone, and no one really ever replied to me, which was interesting. But now I think I told you guys maybe briefly that like me and my friends were just like really upset about the fact that like they're not lobbying anymore. I mean, there has to be a reason for it. Like, I'm not blaming them. So we decided like to do our own thing. Like, so we started this like mutual aid diabetes thing, and it's super early. We like announced it really early because we didn't want to go forward without like the whole community being able to say like, we don't like this, or we like this, or add this, because I feel like our community has been like heavily exploited for profit in the last like 10 years. So we were like, we don't want to be like that. So please like come join. So we're filing. I don't know exactly how the legal part of this works. I'm just like running.
You're trying.
Yeah. I'm like running the social media, and I'm getting a whole team together for that. I get to go in on most of the calls when we talk with people to like set this thing up. We have like a lawyer on board, like a CPA. They all have diabetes, which is good. So they're filing for C3 status. And then I think they want to do a C4 too, because one of the people on our team like lives and is a lawyer in DC and like has a ton of connections. And I don't know if I can share exactly what she's doing right now.
It's okay. How much does your insulin cost per month?
So it varies.
How does it vary?
It's kind of hard to explain. I guess in like simple terms, like you take a different amount every month almost, like especially during quarantine. I'm definitely like less active, and like, you know, people's mental health is not that great right now. Like, people probably aren't taking the best care of themselves. So like, that's definitely the boat I'm in.
Right. So they need more?
Yes. So I used to only take like 1 to 2 vials a month, which would be around $600.
Jesus.
But now I do like 3, which is like closer to $900. I would have to pay rent. More if I didn't have an insulin pump. Yeah, it is rent. And the average, the national average is 3 a month. So that's around $1,000.
Jesus. I mean, it's like an impossible situation. So can you explain to us what's happening with insulin in Canada? Like, it's cheaper in Canada and it's not prescription?
Yeah, so, well, it depends what province.
Right.
But, like, I don't think Quebec, like, it is cheap there and affordable and they supply it to its citizens, but you cannot walk into a pharmacy and just buy it. But right. In Ontario, like, there are a lot of diabetics in Detroit that will just cross the border and go into a, which they can't do during COVID, which is great, but they cross the border and go into a pharmacy in Ontario and just buy what they need. It's the same exact stuff by the same 3 manufacturers worldwide, and they just go home. That's it.
Wow. It is like such a huge, crazy, unfair. Do you know how many people in America have diabetes?
I'm not sure how many have diabetes, but I know there are 7.5 million on insulin, which includes every type of diabetes. But for type 1, there's only 1.5 million of us.
Right. Wow. It seems like such an important human rights question of, like, not letting people die.
Well, yeah, and it's, like, complete life control. Like, there's a lot of things, like, you cannot do just because you have to constantly be insured. And not just, like, okay insurance. Like, you have to be, like, good, like, insured in order to live.
Yeah, so good insurance, yeah.
A lot of people stay at jobs they, like, are, like, sexually harassed at. One of my friends did that in the past. A lot of people stay places that they can't stand, or they live in states that they don't want to be in. Like, it's just it's like mass control of, like, 7 million people taking this drug.
So actually getting people insulin who can't afford it, what goes into that?
So it depends what the issue is. If it's a copay problem, which copays for insulin can be very high. I don't know where people get the idea that, like, it's really cheap. I've had people say, like, it's $400 and I can't, like, I literally can't pay for it. So if that's the case, we usually point to crowdfunding, which hopefully the, like, nonprofit in the future will be able to do, to, like, take donations and then distribute them to community members. But right now it's literally, like, Twitter crowdfunding. Like, I think Molly's retweeted me before when I had a girl who needed, like, $800 to get all her insulin and then, like, some of her pump supplies. That's just kind of how it works. But if it's an issue of someone is completely uninsured, so they can't get a prescription. Remember, there's a prescription barrier, which is a huge problem for these.
Right, because you have to pay for a doctor to prescribe it.
Yes, and it's very expensive. And lots of primary care doctors won't prescribe insulin. It's just weird. Sometimes you have to go to a specialist, which is even more expensive. But if these people don't have insurance, that's kind of where it gets trickier. So we have to, like, literally mail them insulin, or I like to, like, find people close to them and hopefully they can, like, orchestrate some kind of, like, drop off. But I don't let anyone exchange money for any of this. It has to all be free.
Ugh, I mean, it's just such a nightmare. In your ideal world, you would have a cap on the cost of insulin.
Yeah, I think that it shouldn't be any more than, like, what would be, like, adjusted for inflation today. I mean, it doesn't make much sense to me. It's just astronomically high. Like, that's my only gripe with that. I mean, I guess in, like, a dream world, I want everyone to be able to get insulin for free, but we live in the United States, so I'm, like, kind of thinking, like, will we get, like, health care first, or will we get insulin caps first? So that's kind of the question that the community is asking, like, which do we focus on?
Who are the drug makers who make sort of the big insulin brands?
So there's Eli Lilly, which they're US-based, they're in Indianapolis. And then there's Novo Nordisk, and they are Danish. And then, who is it? Sanofi, and they're French.
So there are three main companies for insulin.
Yeah, I don't know any other ones. I don't think there are any other ones.
It seems like something that the right legislator could figure out something for.
There are people that want to help, but I just, like, I think there are barriers to it that no one really knows about, which kind of makes me worried.
Yeah, but $800 a month is insane. So you don't die. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, and even if you have insurance, like I just mentioned earlier, the copays are still pretty hefty.
Like, what's the average copay?
So, it's going to depend. I know some states have copay caps, but those, we've done some data digging. One of my friends, Hannah, and she found that they help less than like 27% of people on insulin in each state because it's only employer, like a specific type of employer insurance. So, I think people are paying like $150, $200 because these copay caps are like $100 copay caps and people are like cheering for them. Like, that's like $100 a month is low for people.
Right. I was going to say.
Madeline, can you tell us where people can find you and where people can find more information to help with your cause?
Yeah. So my Twitter and Instagram is Insulin Thought, but with a zero. So INSULINTH0T on Twitter and Instagram. And that's basically where I facilitate everything through my Twitter.
Yeah. No, I mean, it seems like what you're doing is the kind of thing that's so incredibly important.
Yeah. And I have a whole, squad of people. I don't think I could do it alone. I would explode.
Yeah. No, I know. But it's really important. And it's the kind of activism that, like, saves people's lives and changes everything. So.
Yeah, we make the insulin manufacturers look good because less people are dying.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
It's messed up, but it's true.
On that note, we'll wrap up this episode of The New Abnormal from The Daily Beast. In future episodes, we'll be talking with smart folks from The Daily Beast and beyond, from media, culture, politics, and science, who will help us understand what's happening to our country and the world.
We hope you'll subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and share the show on social media. We're just getting started and don't want you to miss an episode. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, I'm Molly Jongfest and he's the Rick Wilson. Thanks so much for listening and we'll see you again on the next episode.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.